I reckon this bloke would have tucked into some duck a la Ronge over the course of his life. Time to talk some rugby league with Peter Peters. G'day, Zorb.
Morning. And, yeah, Peking duck. Oh, nothing better.
Yeah, great band as well, too. Zorb, John Morris. Now, we were talking about this in the break, Ray and I, and it's been confirmed a couple of weeks ago. And I think, based on what I've seen, and you never know until you see them actually in action, but he's got everything required to be a quality NRL coach.
Except he hasn't controlled an NRL side, and I think that's worrying the Sharks. Indeed, I know it is. They seem to be having second thoughts, and Morris is taking the side to Kiama for a training camp this week.
Mm-hmm.
In a couple of days' time, he's heading into the season thinking that he's going to be there, and that's the way he's approaching it. But I understand there's been some talks in the background, and the Sharks hierarchy is still looking at the full-time position for the upcoming season. And the names that keep coming up, and I rubbed Trent Barrett out as a chance, I think around about 6-7 weeks ago, but he and Cameron Seraldo are the names that keep coming up. Ironically, both are close mates, both have played at the Sharks, and both started their coaching careers together at Penrith. Something's going on there. I've even heard there's a chance it could be a dual role of those two.
Interesting. Watch your space, Hazel.
Jeez.
Yeah. That's not a vote of confidence.
What's the issue with John Morris, mate? Because, as I said,
lack of experience.
Okay. So, yeah. You just go for the best candidate, don't you?
Last June, the NRL got in touch with Shane Flanagan, the then coach of the Sharks, and his manager, Wayne Beavis, and said, "You have got some questions to answer. There is an investigation going on."
Mm.
Now, 1 month after that, Trent Barrett, who is managed by Shane Flanagan's manager, Wayne Beavis, put in his notice at Manly that he wanted to go in 12 months' time. So,
read into that what you will.
Read into that what you may. And I think there's been something going on for a long time there behind the scenes at the Sharks.
Interesting. Hey, so I'm still on the Sharks. Paul Gallen versus John Hupawadi. I know you've called many world titles in boxing over the years. What do you make of this?
Well, if it goes more than two rounds, I'll be surprised. And it's on at the Horden Pavilion, and it's been the house of many surprises over the years. Yeah. Hupawadi hasn't fought in a ring anyway since 2010 when he was KO'd and then disqualified in his last two fights. He's had 17 fights for 11 KO wins, while Gallen is 8-8. Now, there's a simmering no love lost here between the two. Remember Hopper being banned for 17 games and ending his career following a shocking tackle on the Sharks prop in 2005 at Brookvale Oval.
Keith Galloway
taken out.
Yeah.
That incident has never been forgotten in the Shire, and particularly by one Paul Gallen, who had one of his best ever seasons in 2005. He broke out as a real player in 2005. Now, he remembers that well. He's the only player in the current Sharks lineup that was anywhere near that game in 2005. Now, that may come back to bite Hopper in a few weeks. I can't see it going, as I said, more than two rounds. Justin Hodges is making his debut on the undercard. Been some memorable moments at the Horden Pavilion in boxing. I remember in 1985 with my great mate Bill Morty, he promoted Jeff Fenwick in his seventh pro fight. He won the IBF bantamweight title from Satoshi Shingaki.
Who was
considered pound for pound one of the best boxers in the world. Well, Fenwick demolished him in two rounds and then later beat him in another fight for the world title rematch. And Bill Morty, miss him every day. What a great man, what a great journalist, what a great promoter. In that fight, his cut as promoting, he wanted to back Fenwick. And we at the office, and I was working for him at the time, talked Bill out of it. He was a great punter. It was a lot of money. and there were few people in Sydney that could bet that amount of money. So Bill went to his friend Kerry Packer, who was at ringside for the fight, and Kerry pocketed the money after two rounds. It was easy money for him, and he backed up several times during Fenwick's great career.
Is there the great line from Bill Morty about, you know, if you don't pay your debt, they take a finger, at least it gives you a finger a day, at least it gives you 10 days to pay or something? Was that the line? I remember reading that.
Bill was a great, great character, the like of what we'll never see again. And, you know, he worked for News Limited. He was a great rugby league writer. He worked at the NRL for a long time. He was the editor of Big League magazine, but he really brought boxing into the hotels and clubs in Australia. Mm. And the way he managed Jeff Fenwick to a world title fight and promoted him was just unbelievable.
Mm. All right. I asked a question earlier. I was trying to work out why Alan Stajic has been sacked.
No one knows.
He was going to speak to Phil Moss a little bit later on in the program, but you still got question marks about David Gallop in front of the media.
Well, I just thought, former long-time NRL CEO David Gallop, he was never comfortable in front of a live all-in media conference, but he got by with a little help from his friends in the media in rugby league, but not so this week with his nervous, say-nothing effort in front of a fired-up media demanding answers over the controversial sacking of the Matildas coach, Alan Stajic. Gallop said nothing, and he looked nervous. He didn't look as though he was believing what he was saying. So bad was he that some in the media are now suggesting he should go. It was a pretty weak effort, and, some question marks over that. There's been some blunders in rugby league over the years, but this looks like an all-timer.
Mm, a lot more to be played out there, I think, Sorb. Hey, Sorb, what's happening with our friends north of the border?
Well, I think it's interesting. Kalyn Ponga, he may play 5-8 for a while outside Mitchell Pearce in Newcastle, but he'll be Billy Slater's replacement at fullback for Queensland in the state of origin, as Queensland coach Kevin Walters goes through this summer looking closely at his spine, with a famous four of Billy Slater, Cameron Smith, Cooper Cronk and Jonathan Thurston all now gone from that great, great Queensland side. Mm. Now, three of the four, I reckon, pick themselves, with Ponga at fullback, Cameron Munster at 5-8, Daly Cherry-Evans on the back of what he did for Queensland last year and
game three.
He played for Manly.
Mm. Yeah.
He'll be the halfback, I reckon. Now, the number nine isn't clear-cut, but I reckon Wiley Old Kevin may spring a surprise here and throw Michael Morgan the nine jumper.
Okay.
He can easily fill the role and be a backup six or seven. It could be a masterstroke. Now, he's going to take over from Thurston at halfback at the Cowboys, and he'll do a great job there. But he can play a number of positions, and I can't see a standout hooker anywhere that has come up through the Queensland ranks that could play Origin with any great certainty.
What do you think of that, Jim?
Yeah. Andrew McCulloch disappointing last year, and I think they got no thrust out of dummy half.
No, he's too slow.
Yeah, yeah. Jake Granville, it was interesting. I read an article about Jake Granville when I was up in Queensland, and he said he spent 2018 too concerned about trying to be State of Origin hooker rather than concentrate on what he was doing for the Cowboys, and he wants to get back to that running game. I don't think he's an 80-minute player, certainly not at Origin level. So, gee, I don't know, Michael. I think it'd be interesting to see how Morgan plays during the course of the first few games, or eight games.
He's a footballer.
He could almost play six in front of Munster.
Yeah, he could, but they'll be picking Munster. Don't worry about that. They reckon they're going to build a side around Munster now with Inglis already declaring he's only got 1 year to go. They need to build their side right now. And Munster has proven he had a poor grand final, I know. And I put the kiss of death on him. I chose him to be my Clive Churchill medal winner. He was nearly the worst on the ground. But
yeah,
I don't think we'll see that again from him.
And Morgan was at his best when Thurston was out for that period.
Correct.
And he took North Queensland Cowboys through to the grand final back end of season.
Zorba, I'll give you the prices. State of Origin at tab.com.au. What do you reckon? Just, I don't know whether you've looked at them.
Two-horse race, Zorba, remember?
Yeah. Oh, it'll be odds on New South Wales.
$1.45, the Blues.
Yeah.
$2.75, Queensland.
Yeah, I've had a look at the prices for the first round of the comp, and boy, there's some short teams in there with no form on the board. Very interesting I'm looking forward to that. It's not long. We've got the countdown of the season, really, is down to just 19 days. The season will be underway with the Australian Indigenous All-Stars playing the New Zealand Maori Kiwis for the first time at Amy Park in Melbourne on Friday, February the 15th. Both women and men's games will be played, and the first NRL game for the season will also be at Amy Stadium on Thursday, March the 14th. Storm versus Brisbane. There'll be chock-a-block of interest in that.
I tell you what, that might be one of the games you're talking about. $1.55 the Storm, the Broncos $2.45 under new coach Anthony Seibold.
Yeah, I couldn't back Melbourne at that price.
No, me neither.
And boys, you're talking about tied games, are you?
Yes.
Yeah. Mine's a lay down there. I've never forgotten it. I was just in high school at the time, 1960, first tied Test match between Australia and the West Indies, and what a game! I mean, here we've had a game over in 2 days.
Yeah.
Listen to the scores in this. The West Indies, 453 in their first dig. Gary Sobers, what a player. 132. Alan Davidson, 5 for 135 for Australia. What a beautiful left arm fast bowler he was. And Australia got 505. Norm O'Neill, 181. And the great Wes Hall, 4 for 140. Davidson. I got 80 for Australia. What an all-rounder he was. And the tied test match. And, you know, when you've got players like Frank Worrell, Alan Davidson, Wes Hall.
Great names.
Norm O'Neill in that side.
Richie
Benno, of course, captain of Australia. Oh, it was an amazing, amazing test match. And I listened to it on the radio in between school lessons where I wasn't very good. I thought I'd be the first school captain to fail.
It worked out okay. So
it worked out okay, mate.
Yeah, that's
good
right.
Good luck to all those new Australians who I used to put to the front of the fire line once a week.
Very good. Very
good. Good on you, mate.
Good on you, Zorb. We'll speak again next week, mate.
Okay, boys.
See you, Pete.
There he is, Peter Peters, with his thoughts on the game of rugby league and, indeed, ties in the game of cricket. Remember the scorebooks that you used to get with the famous photo Wes Hall with his hands in his hair? Who was the West Indian fielder?
Is it Solomon?
I reckon it was Joe Solomon, too.
Joe Solomon, 100%. Hey, James, just on that $1.45 New South Wales, $2.75 Queensland, the Origin Series. Game one of the 2019 series is in Brisbane.
Correct.
Then you go game two in Perth. That could be 1-0 up Brisbane, Queensland.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, quite easily.
$1.45.
I know.
Two horse race.
$1.45. Back then with your money. Oh. Actually, that sounds like the price of the two horses you tip on Sunday morning. $1.45.
Jeez, you're hard, man.